Manzullo from our 16th district. And Congressman, welcome to 1330 WNTA.
How are you doing, Mark?
Hey, doing fine, doing fine. What is this cap and trade bill? I mean, I'm hearing bits and pieces of it, but what exactly is this about, and you know, how is this going to affect us? Because I keep hearing from the weekend, I'm reading the Wall Street Journal, that this is going to cost us more in the long run here.
Well, the cap and trade is a proposal that's been brought up by people who believe the best way to stop emissions of carbon into the environment is to come up with a total amount of carbon tonnage that should be emitted, and then to let the industries bid among themselves as to who meets the standards and who does not meet the standards. If you don't meet the standards, then you can buy somebody else's trade, carbon trade, so that in the end you only get X amount of carbons that are going into the air. And the problem with that is that it applies just to the United States. It doesn't apply to Mexico. Obviously, it doesn't apply to China. And Europe tried the same thing, and it's disastrous there because, for example, there was a part supplier, Fastener, in Spain. It had the latest in emissions, emission controls, very sophisticated shop. But Morocco, which is just across the Straits of Gibraltar, was not covered by the cap and trade system. So the Fastener manufacturer in Morocco was able to manufacture these fasteners cheaper, and so you end up with that Morocco fastener emitting carbons in the air, which are not regulated, as opposed to the Spanish guy who's regulated. The Spanish guy is either on the verge of or he's already gone out of business. So this is extraordinarily dangerous legislation. It's estimated by the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office that the energy cost increase to comply with these standards could be much as $2,200 per year per family. So, I mean, that's staggering to ask Americans to spend $175 more a month based on a theory that capping carbon emissions is going to clean up the environment.
Now, I know that we compete with China, but as an industrial nation, is China doing anything similar? Are we going to basically, cut our nose to spite our faces on this?
Well, it's similar to the Kyoto Treaty, which said they want to roll back emissions to what they were in 1990, and the United States has not signed on to that because India and China, which are two of the largest belchers of carbon emissions, would be exempt from the law, because they're considered to be emerging countries. And so what that does is the United States becomes less competitive. It dramatically increases the cost of doing business at these factories, including the cost of their energy, and it makes American businesses less competitive. It's just, and it actually ends up causing more pollution. So we're very much concerned that this bill could go through. It's being actually marked up by the committee the Commerce Committee at the end of next week. So we're really concerned about it. In fact, Europe, which put that cap and trade system into place, greenhouse gas emissions actually increased between 2000 and 2006. And energy intensive industries such as cement, etc., relocated from Europe, North Africa, and Morocco, Algeria and Tunisia, they just moved the companies over to another country, and we could lose a lot more companies simply moving to Mexico.
I know that you're co-sponsoring some alternative legislation. How does that differ from this cap and trade system?
Well, what it is, it's called the American Energy Innovation Act, H.R. 2300. It's an incentive-based alternative that takes into consideration the three factors: innovation, conservation, and production of America's natural resources. You know, the idea of conservation and going green, et cetera, does not belong to any particular philosophy or any particular party. In fact, if you it's more conservative than anything, because the farmers who've been into no-till planting, contour farming, rotation of crops, etc., that have done more in the area of conservation than anybody else. In this bill, it says, look, if we want to really conserve in this country, the thing to do is you conserve while you're creating jobs, but you make it a lot easier for people, number one, to buy equipment that for example, scrubbing equipment for your smokestacks, or to buy equipment that goes inside factories for the purpose of recirculating the air. And it's all based upon incentives of tax credits, so that the latest in technology could be affordable to the owner of a manufacturing facility, and he would be buying the latest in technology products as opposed to paying taxes in many cases. And so that's the real incentive. And you don't have this giant system of trading these carbon credits whereby Wall Street could get involved. And the federal government would be in the business of buying and selling these credits and telling factories how much they can emit from their smokestacks.
In tune with that also, and again, kind of an aside to this conversation, what's the latest on either resurgence or, you know, getting this, the contract for clean coal technology that was supposed to go to Illinois and was withdrawn almost at the last moment. Are we looking at any, restarting or renovation of that issue at all?
Clean coal technology incentive is still there. There's serious questions now about the impact of sequestration, and where you take emissions and you pump them into the ground as opposed into the air.
Mm-hmm.
The theory is that these giant underground caves should be able to hold these emissions, but this cap and trade has already stopped probably $500 million or $600 million project over in East Dubuque. At a place that Rentec, which manufactures anhydrous ammonia, you know, for farm application, and their feedstock now is natural gas, that would have been replaced by high sulfur content coal that would have been shipped up the Mississippi River from central and southern Illinois, and greatly lowered the cost of the of the feedstock. It's something called the Fischer-Tropsch process, so that the factory still would make anhydrous ammonia, urea, and other agriculture-related products. And in addition to that, it would make diesel fuel. So that giant project got scrapped. I mean, there was a $500 million project. And that was scrapped. Can you imagine the wealth that would have brought to northern Illinois, especially in the northwest corner?
Well, I mean, now the Fischer-Tropsch technology, I mean, that's kind of a proven technology to make synthetic fuels. I mean,
it is. It is. That was the thing. The Germans of World War I developed that.
Mm-hmm.
World War II, because they had no petroleum, and that provided the diesel for their tanks. And so, you know, we have all these technologies that are out there. Mark, the problem is this. The federal government thinks that it's the only one that knows anything about so-called green technologies. And they talk about, you know, well, the cap and trade, that's good because it'll develop, it'll encourage people to get involved in green technology. That goes on all the time. There's a factory over in Harvard called All World Manufacturing. And they're the only manufacturer in the world, at least that I know of, that uses that drives hydraulics with an on-demand system, so that you don't have a motor running all the time. It saves about 60% in energy. If you take a look at Danfoss, you know, up on the tollway near mm-hmm. near Beloit, South Beloit, Danfoss is a Danish company. They make machines that modulate the flow of electricity into other machines, such as a printing press or whatever you have. And that's all green technology. And we have, you know, turbines that are being made in Rockford. That's green technology. So the marketplace itself and in the ingenuity of the manufacturers is already there. And this is what is used to bring about the so-called green revolution, not government saying, oh, by the way, there are 535 members of Congress that have this great idea, and they're going to tell American manufacturers what to manufacture.
I leave the business to the business community as far as that.
Leave invention to the inventors, not the politicians.
Yeah. Well, I think it sounds like more like you get people, attract more people with honey than you do with vinegar, as far as that goes.
Our big concern is that, I mean, manufacturing has taken a huge hit. I mean, I'll have to tell you that. Look, we're suffering in the Rockford area. And that's all you need is another government-imposed mandate to make it more expensive to manufacture in the United States. That's what chases people offshore.
Yeah. Congressman, I tell you, my time's a bit limited, and I appreciate your valuable time on this, and we'll talk to you later, sir.
Thank you.
You bet. Again, Congressman Manzullo, talking about an energy plan, an alternative to the cap and trade that's being proposed by the Obama administration, basically proposing an alternative in a way to achieve energy independence.